It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women ignite their inner desires to powerfully step out of the closet and into the light of living authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt or shame, Rick offers take action tips for basking in the glow of self-love, easy to implement tools for wrapping yourself up in the warm embrace of self-acceptance, and take it to the bank advice on how to step courageously into a powerful, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, insights for living authentically as a gay or lesbian, and challenges you to step out of the ordinary and into your extraordinary life. Pull up a chair, cuddle up with the truth of who you've always been, and let's spend an hour in the Coming Out Lounge discovering how to energetically step out, step up, and step into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It's time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. Because you know what? In all honesty, the greatest gift you can actually give yourself is to be yourself and come out from behind those masks that you're hiding in. And you know, it's been said we've all got these huge crosses of life to bear. Job losses, maybe it's a relationship breakup, the dead car battery in the morning, losing a loved one, each in its own right is our cross to bear as part of life. But then on that other hand, we've also got a lot of masks we tend to hide behind. Masks that really keep people from seeing us in our vulnerabilities, seeing our truths, and seeing our pain. And in essence, that's when we finally see that we're all a whole heck of a lot more similar than we are different. And today I'm joined by a good friend of mine, Lisa Kaplan, who's a psychologist and head of life coach at Smart Women Inspired Life. She's that head life coach gal there. The two of us have put our heads together for today's chat, and we're going to do some paralleling of the LGBT life and the struggles that women face in society trying to step out behind their own mask and be truly who they are. In other words, this gay man and this heterosexual woman, we're both going to put on our heels, call out our inner divas, and go kick some booty about life, love, false beliefs that we're not good enough. Welcome to the show, my friend Lisa Kaplan. Hello, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Rick. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So I'm going to confess to the listeners that Lisa just got back from Hawaii, so I really am kind of irritated and not sure I even want to do this show, given that little tidbit of information she gave me. But you know what? Hey, we're going to go with this anyway. So
I know. It's a struggle, but
it is a struggle, but somebody has to go, you know, so awesome. So, yeah, I'm really excited about doing this show today with you because we've chatted a little bit about similarities and the kind of people we work with. And some people might go, okay, so why are you having a heterosexual woman on the show to talk about struggles that women have? Well, I think it's a very deep parallel that LGBT people in particular, and probably a lot of lesbian women go through some very similar things that heterosexual women go through in society. So let's just dive right in, Lisa. So you work with women who are really hiding behind masks. Tell me a little bit about that.
What I find is that women put on a mask to please others. So they put on what I call the pretty face or the mom face or the I'm the perfect wife face, some version of that. To hide behind it, really they do it for good reasons. They want to be loved and they want to take care of people, but what's behind that mask is often not seen, and that's who they are. And then all of a sudden they hit their 40s, their 50s, sometimes even their mid-20s, and they say, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I want to do. I just had a 20-something-year-old girl call, young woman call, and say, you know, I did everything my parents wanted me to do. I put on that perfect young woman mask, and now I'm in a career that I can't stand. I no creativity. I'm lost.
Mm-hmm. It's the same stuff. It's the same exact thing. In fact, that's why Lisa and I, as we were talking about this before we did the show, was how similar this is. You know, whether you're 20 or 18 or 45 or 30-something and you're finally striding into your sexual orientation truth, you've been doing this hiding for everybody else, not yourself. I mean, would anybody really go hide something just because they want to hide it from themselves? The answer is absolutely not. They're doing it right because of other people. So right, when you're working with women, and I'm sure you've done some work with some guys too, but it sounds like the overriding theme is I'm doing this for everyone else. I'm not doing this in any way to benefit myself. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah. So when you see that happening, what is one of the things that you start to work with to really help someone come to terms with that I don't have to please everybody mentality?
What I end up talking to them about, which it's a little ironic when you think about it, but I say, are you really pleasing anyone if you're unhappy? You know, if you're low energy or exhausted or crabby or bitchy or whatever it is, who are you really helping? And so we start with that because they often can't hear. Maybe you need to prioritize yourself. So that's a tough way for them to start. So we start with, you're not really helping anyone if you're not being your true self. The other thing that often influences women is when I say, well, would you want your children to hide who they are? And they say, oh, no. Oh, gosh, no. Right? But yet it's okay for them. And I say, well, you know, let's look at what you're modeling for your children, you know, or your nieces and nephews or anyone else, you know, anyone else in your life. What are you really showing people when you're not being true to yourself?
And I think this piece of what are you really hiding if you're not being true to yourself is the key to everything. Because
yes,
this begins the story. This begins the pattern. This begins the habit of, okay, well, maybe this one time I'll keep my mouth shut. And then suddenly
right.
You wake up and it's, you know, 20, 30, 40 years later, and you're still keeping your mouth shut about something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it takes a physical and emotional toll to keep your mouth shut. You know, there's a ton of studies now that show when we hide who we are, the stress of it hurts us physically, it hurts us emotionally, we get sick more frequently, you know, we start to lose our concentration, we lose our creativity. All those bad things happen when we are not true to ourselves.
Yeah. So I'm curious, you just said something that kind of correlates with what I find in the work when I'm working with individuals coming out of the closet, is I always say to them, I'm not going to guarantee this, but I can almost wager some money on it, that right after you come out of the closet and you start to be authentically who you are, this isn't going to have just an impact on your sexuality and who you are in that realm. You're going to see shifts happen in your work. You're going to see it happen in other relationships. You're going to see things shift in your finances, in your spirituality, in your outlook on life. It sounds like to me, possibly something similar happens in the work that you do.
Absolutely. And I actually say something similar about I'll do a money back guarantee, because I know once they get the one area where they've been hiding themselves figured out, the rest of it really comes together.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, finances, other relationships, work, they're better parents, they're better partners, they're better professionals. All those things come together because they're starting to be more open and honest in every area. Once you dive through the hardest one, the rest become, you start to shed all those layers.
You know, it's kind of interesting because I was working with a client just before we got on here to tape this show, and he was complaining about, I just can't seem to get out of this dead-end job, and I can't seem to find the answers of where I'm supposed to go next, and so on and so forth. And I don't know if it was something serendipitous knowing I was getting ready to come talk with you and do this podcast, but I stopped and I said, you know what? I have one question for you. What are you hiding? What are you hiding?
Yep.
He's like, what the hell does that mean? I'm like, I just feel like there's something you're hiding that you're not being truthful about in your life right now. And you're looking for something that maybe if you quit hiding whatever this is, then the truth will come forward. And what you're looking for will come forward. And it was really interesting because he got very, very quiet. And he began to really share with me what was really going on. And we have worked together probably for 3 months at least around this stuff, around work and where he's supposed to go. And suddenly when he opened up because of that question, things began to shift. And they began to shift really, really quickly because he realized he was hiding the truth of what he really wanted to be doing, but he hadn't come to that space where he could actually say those words. And so I kind of chalk that up to, okay, now that's going to be one of my power questions to use when I'm working with a client, because I think so often we do find these places where in our relationships or at work or wherever it may be, we're hiding something. And the minute we make it the truth, this is really who I am, it frees all this other energy up to kind of get us through it. So
absolutely.
I'm really curious because I know for me, when I decided to go into this work, and you're a psychologist as well as a life coach, mm-hmm. there was something that really drew it to me personally, and part of it was my own personal experience of coming out of the closet late in life. What inspired you to want to go do this work and build your company, Smart Women Inspired Lives?
You know, it's so interesting you ask it because I can trace it back to when I was a young woman, probably early 20s, I read the book The Feminine Mystique. And it's about women in the 50s, women who were young mothers in the 50s and how unhappy they were. They were really trapped in this little Laura Petrie world. If you used to watch the Dick Van Dyke Show, she looked happy, but I saw my mother wasn't happy. She really struggled, and I saw many other women in the community who many of them probably would have been happier in careers, would have been happier doing other things, but they really weren't allowed to at that time.
You know, it's interesting that you use the term would have been, because we've all heard the term coulda, shoulda, woulda. Mm-hmm. But what I find so powerful is that word alone, would have, mm-hmm. is oftentimes the turning point for all of us when we say, I would have done this or I would have done that. But what I usually end up asking is, then why didn't you?
Right.
Because in
right.
the why didn't you is the real answer.
Yes.
And one of the things that I've found that really helps people as they're coming through these closet doors and they're pulling off these masks and they're living in their truth is to say, for, you know, for the next week, I want you to keep track of how many times you think or you say would have, could have, should have.
Yep.
And take those, the number of times that you've said, and pay yourself a dollar for each one of those times. It's pretty amazing what happens for clients. First of all, they're kind of like, are you serious? I'm like, I'm dead serious. I want you to see this, you know? It's because when you can start to see this, you see how many things that you're pushing off, or how many things you're saying I can't do, or how many things you want to do, but you're making some excuse for it. So when you're working with somebody who is in that woulda, coulda, shoulda mode, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm pretty sure it's very similar for, you know, the women you work with as it is for those of those people coming out like I work with. What is something you would advise them to do? And I know as coaches, we don't like to advise, but what is something you kind of push them towards starting to do to get past that?
I'll ask the question when a woman says, well, I should do this. I'll ask similar to you. I'll say, well, why don't you? Oh, because this might happen, this might happen. So I will push them to say, what's the worst thing that will happen? So they'll say, well, my husband will be mad at me. And I'll say, so what? You know, mm-hmm. and then, oh, but, you know, people in my community will talk about me. So what? So I really push them to look at the worst case scenario. And rarely is the worst case scenario anything that they can't manage.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the so what question is so powerful because, not to be redundant, but it is very powerful. Only because when we can say so what, we start to get real with ourselves.
Completely.
We start to get really clear, and lots of clarity starts to come forward. So given that so what can be really powerful, I'm just curious, how many people actually take that to heart as you've worked with them? Or is it something kind of do in the moment and then you have to keep coming back and going, remember when we did the so what? We did the so what? They did the so what? I mean, is this something you work with a lot with people in that arena?
Oh, every day. Yeah. Every single day. Every day. Some people really get it. It clicks right away for them and they go out and do it. Some people keep coming back and we have to push a little harder. You know, fears are built over a long period of time in our lives, and what we say to ourselves about the fear is really the most damaging thing. I couldn't live with this, or I couldn't handle this. And so I'll keep pushing and pushing in that area. Sometimes they'll come back and we'll start with something smaller or slower, or, you know, a little easier for them to push through before we get to the next step and the next step. I'm guessing for the coming out community, that's probably not the first step. It's a big one, right? So
right.
who can you come out to first, or who can you think about coming
sure.
out to? Might even be a first step.
Right. It is a first step, and it is one of those that I have numerous times. Actually, I can't even think of a time when somebody was working with me around that I haven't taken them to that space of, okay, so who's going to be the first? Mm-hmm. And immediately they'll say a name and then they'll go, oh, but da, 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 da. And I'm like, and then I say, and so what? And we do a lot of the so what work in that arena. And without it being like flippant, you know, it's more, right. Okay, so what's really going to happen? You know?
Right.
And a lot of times it's been interesting to watch as they go through that exercise to find the person they may be talking about. And we get to the very quote end of the trail, so to speak, of the so what's. And I've often seen clients go, and if they can't be here with me, then they're not meant to be here. It's so powerful when they get to that space.
Yes.
Now, it's really tough for us as humans to really get there because we've created habits of putting people into our lives that aren't necessarily the best for us in our lives.
Right.
But we think they're supposed to be there. Isn't that
right?
To me, it's so interesting. We think somebody's supposed to be in our life, but yet they're not the best people to be in our lives.
Right. And we're afraid to let them go. It means something scary. If we tell that first person, if we come out to that first person and they leave us, then we get scared. Well, who could I really tell then? I thought they were the safe one, right?
Right. Isn't that interesting? We think they're the safe one to tell on any of our secrets, and then they end up not being the best ones.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember I had a good friend that when I came out, we hadn't worked together. I would say it was probably been at least 5 or 6 years. But ironically, when I left that company and went to work at my new company, the companies were in the same area of town. I mean, we were like literally around the corner from each other. And so the friendship continued. We'd go out to lunch and stuff every so often. And then when I finally came clean about coming out, she just, I wouldn't say she turned her back on me, but she was very offended that I hadn't shared this with her sooner. And I'm like, well, first of all, you're not the first person I would consider sharing it with. And second of all, I'm not really understanding why this had dug into you so deeply. And there was a period where we actually didn't talk for a long time. And then suddenly, I don't know what turned the corner, but suddenly she reached out and I finally had a conversation with her. I said, I'm really, you know, I just got to ask you, why did you go from friend to turn your back on me, so to speak, to now suddenly you're all friendly again? And she goes, I guess it's because I had to really realize that your coming out was really about me seeing something in myself.
Ah, that's interesting.
It's very interesting. And then she shared what it was and everything. And I thought, okay, this is really interesting. I think that's a lot of times, as you said, the fears are often more damaging than we allow ourselves to believe. In fact, that's going to be one of the tweetables from the show, is what we say about fears is more damaging than the actual fear itself.
Completely. It is almost always that case, that we've talked ourselves into such a frenzy around the fear that we don't face the fear.
All right. So what are some of these masks you find clients often hiding behind in your work?
I think for women, one of the big ones is that the perfection mask. I have to look perfect. I have to act perfect. I have to be in a perfect relationship. I have to have perfect children. And if I'm in a career, I also have to be perfect at that.
And how much stress does that put on you? Hello.
Hello. I mean, women come into my office, they are exhausted. They can't move, literally, because they're so tired from having to put that mask on all the time. So the stress is outrageous. It's so stressful to all the people around them as well. It hurts their relationships. It keeps them from being authentic in many ways. So they're not connecting with people in a way that they want to, and they don't understand why. And it's because they have the mask on. How can you connect when you have a mask on?
Oh, there's another tweetable right there. You can't connect when you have the mask on. It's so powerful. Right. Well, and that's similar to what I say frequently to clients is, if you're pretending to be someone you're not, and I'm pretending to be someone we're not, then we're having a pretend relationship.
Completely.
Nothing real about it. Nothing whatsoever. So you brought up the big A word, authenticity, and it's kind of one of my favorite words, and it's also one of my pet peeve words because it gets thrown around so much.
You know? Yeah,
so it's like authenticity. Yeah, I'm authentically 100% cotton jeans. Yeah, that's me. but there is a place for it in the conversation. So I'm curious, you know, in your work as a psychologist and a coach, what does that word really mean for you? And I probably just put you on the spot. You're going, okay, well, great. No, thanks for asking that question. But
Yeah. You know, I try actually, I'm like you. I try not to use it too much because it's overthrown. It's kind of like gratitude's used a little too frequently as well. But so for authentic, I say, are you being truthful with who you are? When you want to have a really tough conversation with your partner, are you coming as yourself? Or are you coming as a person who's trying to please your partner? There's a completely different, those are two different people. You know, are you coming in because you're afraid you're going to get in a fight? Are you coming in with the honest truth of what you want to have that conversation be about? If you're coming in and you're afraid of the fight, you're not being, for lack of a better word, authentic.
Yeah, exactly. No, and I love this thing that you just brought up about coming in yourself, or is you coming in as who you're expected to be? When we walk into the room in our gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender selves, before we're ready to really say this is who I am, we are coming in who we're expected to be. Yes. We're not coming in as our truest self. Now, granted, there are some fears, and some of those fears are very founded. I mean, especially in the younger, I'm going to say in the younger generation right now, because 40 to 60% of the kids out on the streets right now are LGBT youth who have been thrown out of their homes because of their sexual orientation or their gender identity and all that stuff. And it just makes me sick. It makes my skin crawl. That as a parent, I can't even imagine that in the worst case scenarios that either one of my daughters could do anything that I would say, done. You're out of here.
Right.
You know, they could go wreck my car. They could, well, okay, maybe if they lit the house on fire. I guess we'd all be kind of out of here by then. But yeah. But, right. But it's amazing to me because really all the conversation is, even in the worst of scenarios, okay, I mean, I'll take it to like a teenage thing. You know, the teen comes home and they say, Mom, Dad, I hate to say this, but I'm pregnant. They're just being themselves.
Right.
They're just being real, you know, and the parents who flip on that, you know, and I know because I've been through that. My kids haven't gotten pregnant, but I thought that's what the conversation was going to be.
Right.
And then as soon as I flipped, I'm like, really, Rick, are you really doing this? You know, but in reality, the person's just being honest and authentic and truthful.
Yes. Yes.
And it's amazing how we start to create the script the moment somebody says something.
Well, and then we put a layer on and we put a layer on. But the interesting thing is when we go in authentic and we go in with who we really are, yes, there's some people who aren't going to want to be with us. And that's for the best.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
I tell my kids that all the time. If you're who you really are and someone doesn't like you for that, then you're better off not being with that person.
Well, and here's why I believe that's so powerful. If you're trying to be with that person and they only want you because of the box they put you in,
yes,
then they will only want you to be in the box that they put you in every moment of the life that you're with them.
Every moment, exactly. And so how then will you be yourself?
Right. Or they want you to wear the mask, or they want you to be in the closet. We can put any metaphor we want to around this, yep. But the reality is, if you can't be who you are, then you cannot be who you are. And
right.
That's kind of weird, but if you can't be who you are, you can't be who you are.
Right, ever with that person.
No. So right. I'm curious about, you know, that piece. So somebody comes in and they feel like they really can't be who they are. Mm-hmm. What do you start to do with them to help them start to open up to being in that vulnerable space?
Well, one of the big things that I do is ask a lot of questions. Why? Why do you think you can't be who you are? And some of them are not actually realistic. Some of them are stories that we've told ourselves or they've told themselves. I had a client who said, I can't be a stay-at-home mom and have fun with my kids. And I said, why? Well, because people will think I didn't go to college, or people will think I'm not smart, or people will think... And so we really dug from that place.
Yeah.
And these were just stories she was telling herself. They were complete stories. And so once she accepted that... Yeah, some people might think that, but that's not who she wants to be with. Then she was thrilled. She went and had fun with her kids, and it was great for her. It's what she wanted.
You know, one of the things I often say is the stories are very rarely true. They're more fiction.
Yes. Almost always. We've developed them since we were little kids. Mm-hmm. We put a story in, and then we add on it to make it a little more crazy than we had originally even had. And when we dig down to that story and we start asking the question, is this story true? Often we'll find that it's not.
Yeah. And in those stories is also, if we really look hard at the story, my belief, just my personal belief, if we really look hard at the story, in that story is the gem of wisdom that leads us to our truth.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you can put all your crap away and get there, oh, there's something so powerful in that story.
So as you do this work, and I know, you know, it's an interesting conversation to be having, because I know you being a psychologist and a coach, you kind of go a little bit to both sides of the fence. You got to do the clinical piece of stuff, but then when you're working with coaching, it's a little bit different modality. What do you find most challenging to help someone really move? If they come in and they're really stuck in their story, what is the biggest challenge in that for you?
Well, since I am both a psychologist and a life coach, I actually don't do therapy anymore. And one of the things that I've have figured out from my coaching world is that if someone decides this is my story and there's absolutely nothing you can say to get me out of it, they're not right for coaching. And I actually refer those people to a therapist.
Okay, so I want you to say that again so everybody really gets that, because that's really powerful.
If someone says to me, this is my story, I'm sticking with it, there's absolutely nothing you can say to get me out of it, then I say, coaching's not right for you. And I refer them to a therapist.
Yeah, that's very good. Very good advice. And you know, oftentimes, this is where I like sharing these sort of things with the listeners, because we may not be the best people to work with them in those kind of scenarios. If somebody's coming to me and they're saying, you know, I really just feel like, you know, life isn't worth living, and, you know, there's days that I just don't think I can make it another step, I will often say, and if you weren't able to make it another step, what would you do? If I get an answer that I know as well, you know, I'd walk in through another train, or I'd, okay, well, you know, I really think right now the best piece of service I can give you is to refer you to this person that can really help you start to unravel that conversation.
Yes.
That's not what I do as a coach. What I do is, okay, so let's talk about that from a different perspective. Why do you feel like you can't move forward? And do you want to move forward? If they come back with, yeah, I really want to move forward and I just need some steps and some guidance and some plans to help me get there, great. So let's start working on a plan.
Exactly.
That's where I feel like I can really step in and help them in that conversation.
And what I find is, if I have clients who keep coming back again and again with excuses as to why they can't take that first step, then they're not ready, and that's okay.
Yeah.
No judgment from me. It's just not the time. You're not ready, you know, for whatever reason. And come back when you are, you know, and let's do this work.
So speaking of doing this work, how much of the time do you find that the work that you do with women is really focused around them being afraid to be vulnerable?
Let's see, 99.9%. Yes, always. And vulnerable in so many ways. If I get a divorce, I don't know if I can take care of myself. If I parent my children, what if they don't like me? I'll feel too vulnerable if I'm not friends with my children. You know, the list is endless, but it all revolves around vulnerability and that feeling of, uh-oh, I can't do this.
So, you know, I asked that question because it's all about me, because that's exactly what happens in my work, too. It's like the moment I take someone to that vulnerable place of, okay, so let's really talk about this. And actually, the very first question I ask most clients who are doing the coming out work, and interestingly, I ask it a lot of clients who have come out, but let's stick with the first group, is, so tell me what it means for you to be gay. Because in that moment, if they can't, you know, communicate that and describe it, we got some work to go do.
Yes.
But in that moment when they can really be vulnerable and say, for me, gay means da, 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 da. And it's not going to be the same for everybody. Trust me. There'll be pieces of it that, yes, okay, if it's a gay guy, well, I'm attracted to men. Get that. Okay. Got that piece.
Right.
But what else does that mean to you? And the reason I keep digging in that arena is because I want to get them vulnerable. I want to get them talking about the real truth of what it is. Thus the reason when I'm working with other people who've been out for a while. So for instance, I have a client who's doing a career change, gay guy, very talented. And he's really struggling with this career change. So we're talking all about it, and then I throw the question at him. So I'm going to take you a little off track for a moment. I'm wondering, what does it mean to you to be gay? And I could just tell the dead silence, you know, and the crickets on the other end of the line. I'm sure he's going, okay, why is this coming up now? But what right. I was digging for is I wanted to see where he'd integrated his sexuality and his sexual orientation and who he is as a man into his career stuff, because I know it's intergrained. I know there's there's some connection there.
Yes.
And when he started to talk about it, I could tell he wasn't comfortable about talking about how his gay life mixed with his career life. And so I finally said, you know what, I feel like this is really making you uncomfortable, and that wasn't my intent. He goes, yeah, I'm very uncomfortable. I said, so we've never talked about this. My guess is that you're not out at work. And he goes, absolutely not. I said, so let me ask you this. Where do you want to be in your next career change? And it was so beautiful. He said, I want to be able to be fully me and fully self-expressed in my next job.
Oh, I love it. Goosebumps on that one. Wow.
Because we hit home.
Right.
And in that moment, he finally got it himself. Yeah. He got that this was a piece that he didn't realize this is what he wanted.
Yeah, and it was missing from his work. He wasn't truly himself at work.
Right. And so because he couldn't be himself at work, he was going and putting on one facade at work. And when he came home, he was being something else. Even to the point as we start to unravel everything, he goes, yeah, you know, I don't even go out. He goes, I rarely go out on a Sunday evening to go to a beer bust or anything because, you know, I don't want to have a hangover or anything. And I don't want, you know, and I'm like, okay, but is it really about the hangover, or is it you don't want to have to explain to people where you were? Because if you came in hungover, then the questions are going to come, oh, really? Where'd you go? We go, it was right. He'd have to put on the mask and start to pretend of all these places he went to have his, you know, Sunday afternoon cocktails. And it was very fascinating to watch this whole thing begin to unfold. And it was so beautiful to watch him graduate, so to speak, into a place where he's in a really great job. He's actually working for a very gay friendly organization, truly able to be himself and be fully who he is. So as we're wrapping up the last couple of minutes here, one of the questions I always ask Lisa, and first of all, I love this conversation. I think we could go on for hours and hours and hours, because there is so much parallel in the work that we do with helping people step out from behind their masks. But the question I always bring to the table, this is the Coming Out Lounge, and it's all about helping people really, truly step out of their closets into their fullest aspect of who they are. If someone is really struggling with this piece of coming out of their closet, whatever that closet may be, gay or straight, lesbian, bisexual, you know, fear of new jobs, fear of being a stay-at-home mom, fear of not being perfect as most women think they must be, what would be the one good piece of advice you'd love to leave the listeners with about stepping out of their closet and being truly who they are?
Ooh, that's a big one. I think my one true piece of advice is to ask yourself every day, am I doing what it really is right for me to keep me both emotionally and physically healthy? And if I'm not answering yes to that every day, then I'm failing myself. So it could be putting the mask on, you know, not being true to yourself, or it could be, you know, not taking care of yourself in some way physically. But I think the bigger question is always, if we're lying to ourselves in some way or lying to the people around us, then we're really not taking care of ourselves.
I love that. If we're lying to ourselves and lying to others, we're really not taking care of ourselves.
Exactly.
That's really powerful. That's a powerful way to really wind up this conversation. Lisa, I so appreciate you taking time out of your day to come into my closet. Come to the other side of the closet with me and the other side of that closet door and really share the parallels that you and I share doing the kind of work we do.
It's my pleasure.
Great.
Thank you.
And if you've really enjoyed the things that Lisa and I have been chatting about, throwing out, and of course, we're both starting to take our heels back off now that we've done the show and we're ready to just relax into our show life. But if you really have enjoyed that, please give us a little bit of love if you feel like it. If it's really aligned with your heart and soul, go on over to iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere you can find the Coming Out Lounge, and just leave us a little rating and review. And of course, as always, I invite you to come find me on Facebook at The Coming Out Coach. Become part of my family there. And of course, there's a lot of you out there that like that little 140 character place called Twitter. So if you really like that, go ahead and tweet out at Rick Clemens and give us a hashtag of The Coming Out Lounge to show us your love. And as always, I always want you to just remember one thing, and you should know this by now if you're a regular listener. We want you to go out there and never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth on the other side of the closet door. Until next time, I'm Rick Clemons, the Coming Out Coach and the host of the Coming Out Lounge. We'll talk to you real soon. Take care.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemons. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.